Investiture of the Gods, Chapter 47.
And it's important to set the stage, right? You've got this ongoing celestial war between two big immortal schools. Zhaogongming is Jijiao.
The cutting off teaching.
Right. And they're kind of facing annihilation by the Zhangjiao, the explaining teaching led by Jiangxia. So Gongming rides into their camp, wants a fight, but it's way more personal than just doctrine.
He arrives riding this huge black tiger carrying his famous whip, and he's demanding to see Jiangxia specifically. Why him? What's driving this almost primal rage?
It's absolutely about revenge and a really deep sense of brotherhood. Six of his close friends, fellow immortals, were just killed. Their arrays were broken by the Zhangjiao side.
Okay.
And then there's the humiliation of another friend, Zhao Jiang. They literally strung him up on a flagpole. So Gongming, he's not thinking about destiny right now. He's here for payback.
Yeah.
A blood debt.
And this guy is top tier, isn't he? Practicing the Tao since the dawn of time, basically. He shows up with that kind of confidence.
Oh, yeah. So Jiangxia, the Zhangjiao general, comes out. He's got his weird mount, the Foran-like, and the younger guys are with him. Neza, Lei Zhenzi, Huang Tianhua, Yang Jian.
The usual suspects.
But Zhao Gongming, he just cuts through any pleasantries, no time for talk.
Yeah.
He basically says, we got to see who's better because my heart aches for my friends.
And boom, the fight starts immediately. No warm-up. It's described as just explosive.
Yeah. The language in the source is intense. It talks about heaven and earth dim and gloomy, the universe shrouded in dark fog. This isn't just a skirmish. It's reality warping stuff.
And Gongming goes straight for his main weapon.
Wastes no time at all. He brings out that whip. It's described with this divine light flashing like lightning. It's not just a whip. It's an artifact of immense power.
So Jiangxia, the supposed hero of this whole saga, how does he handle this first strike?
Shockingly badly. I mean, really badly. Despite having all his disciples there, Xia gets hit instantly by the whip.
Instantly.
Falls right off his mount, hits his back, and the text is blunt.
Yeah.
He's dead. Face white as paper, eyes closed, silent. Gone.
Mm.
The general is taken out in the first exchange.
Wow. Okay. That's a massive twist. The leader of the whole army just wiped out immediately.
Total shock value. That seems to be the point.
So was there any hint this wasn't permanent, or was it meant to just stun the reader with Gongming's power?
I think the shock is definitely intended. The only reason the whole Zhangjiao side doesn't collapse right then is Xia's disciple Jin Zha grabs the body quickly.
Right.
And the younger heroes jump in immediately to distract Gongming.
Ugh, the cavalry. Nessa, Huang Tianhua, Lei Zhenzi, Yang Jian. They swarm him, right? Trying to pin him down.
Yeah, they manage to surround him for a moment. And this is where Yang Jian pulls off a clever, kind of weird counterattack.
Using his dog.
Exactly. While the others are hitting Gongming head on, Yang Jian secretly lets loose the howling celestial dog.
And this isn't just any dog. The source says it's shaped like a white elephant with a copper head and iron neck. That's bizarre.
It really is. But it works. It's the perfect sneak attack. Gongming's expecting, you know, magic blasts or artifact strikes from immortals.
Not a celestial attack dog biting his neck.
Exactly. It catches him completely off guard, bites him hard on the neck, tears his robes, draws blood. It forces him to pull back, wounded, to Wen Taishi's camp.
So he won, killed the general, but got hurt and had to retreat. That must have really angered him.
Oh, for sure. Wen Taishi tries to console him, but Gongming just whips out some magic medicine from a gourd, slaps it on, and heals instantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he's coming back even angrier after being chased off like that.
Okay, let's switch back to the Zhangjiao camp. Chaos, right, mourning. Mm. Xia's dead.
The officials are devastated, but then Guang Qingzi shows up. Well, he's one of the top guys. He is senior martial brother, and his attitude is different.
How so?
He's totally calm. Basically says Xia deserves this misfortune.
Ouch. Cold.
Well, in the context of this whole investiture war, death isn't always final, right? It's often seen as just a step, part of the plan, destiny.
Right, fulfilling the list.
Hmm.
And the text gets really specific about how they bring Xia back, like medical detail.
It's fascinating. Guan Tengzi takes this powerful pill, grinds it up, and pours the medicine down Xia's throat. They called the throat the 12-story tower. It's like magical CPR.
High-level divine first aid.
Yeah. And it takes about an hour.
Yeah.
Then Xia just jolts back to life yelling, it kills me with pain.
Huh. Not exactly serene enlightenment.
No. He realizes he actually died, which must be terrifying, even for an immortal in training. They tell him to rest up because the real fight, the philosophical one, is about to start.
And it does. On day two, Gongming returns. But he doesn't just go after Xia again. He wants to talk to Randing Taoist, Burning Lamp.
Right. One of the absolute highest authorities in Zhangjiao. So the personal revenge thing, it's escalating now into a full-on debate about their core beliefs.
And Gong Ming actually tries to find common ground first.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Representing Ji Zhao, he appeals to their shared roots. He asks Randing, basically, why are we fighting? Our masters learned from the same original source.
Trying to argue for unity, for fairness. He uses that amazing metaphor, doesn't he?
He does. Red flowers, white lotus root, green lotus leaves. The three teachings originally were one family. It's beautiful. He's saying, look, we're connected. Why are you being so harsh, punishing my friends like this?
It's a powerful plea based on history and, well, decency. But Randing, he represents the other side, the Chanjiao view. He's not buying it.
Not at all. Randing completely dismisses the sentimentality. He pivots straight to destiny, celestial law, bureaucracy almost.
How does he counter that emotional argument?
He brings up the paperwork, the Fengjin Bang List, the agreement signed back at Bayou Palace. He basically accuses Zhao Gongming of acting against heaven's will.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he claims Gongming is just fighting for fame and profit. He's saying Gongming abandoned the pure immortal path, the one free of constraints, because he got attached to things like friendship and pride.
So it's brotherhood versus the grand plan, justice versus destiny. There's no way to bridge that gap with words, is there?
Nope. The debate just collapses instantly into violence again.
Before Randing even really gets involved.
Yeah, another immortal, Huanglong Zenren Yellow Dragon True Man, jumps in. He yells at Gongming that he's destined to perish here, that he's on the list.
Probably not the best timing for that argument.
Definitely not. Huanglong finds out fast that yelling prophecies at an angry, superpowered immortal doesn't work so well. Gongming whips out another weapon.
Not the whip this time.
No, the binding dragon rope. Snags Huanglong Zenren right out of the air.
And just captures him.
Oh, it's worse than that. For maximum humiliation, Gongming hoists him up onto the Chanjiao camp's own flagpole, then slaps a talisman on him to lock his soul. Total domination. That's two major figures down in 2 days, thanks to one guy.
Okay, but now we get to the really big one. The thing that lets Gongming truly dominate, the ultimate weapon he unveils.
The Dinghai Pearl, the sea-pacifying pearl. Yes, this changes everything.
What's so special about this pearl? I mean, there are tons of magic items in this story.
Well, first, it's not just one pearl. It's a set of 24. And when he uses them, they blast out this intense five-color divine light.
Okay.
And the key thing, the sources say this light is so overwhelming, so blinding, that even top-level immortals can't see clearly through it.
Ah, so you can't block or dodge what you literally can't see coming.
Exactly. No matter how good your magic is,
yeah,
it bypasses normal defenses.
And isn't there something else mentioned about this pearl? Something about its future?
Yes. This is huge. Right there in the description, the text gives this incredible flash forward. It says, this exact set of Dinghai pearls later flourished in the Buddhist gate and transformed into the 24 heavens.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The Buddhist heavens?
Yeah. This weapon of war, used in this brutal conflict, literally becomes the foundation for a massive part of Buddhist cosmology later on.
Okay, that adds a whole other layer. The power being used here is ancient world-shaping stuff.
Absolutely. And Gongming uses that world-shaping power like a wrecking ball against the Chanjiao leaders. First, he takes down Qi Jingzi, the Red Essence. Gone.
Then Guangchengzi, the guy who just brought Zia back to life.
Him too. Struck down by the Pearl's light. Then Daojing Tianzin. And two more Yuding Zenren and Lingbao Dafashi. Five of them.
Five senior immortals. Taken out by one guy with these pearls.
All five. Struck down one after another. They just couldn't see the attack coming through that blinding light.
Right.
It's a complete rout. Utterly devastating.
So the remaining immortals just retreat.
They have to. They're beaten, injured. When Taishi and the GGL forces are ecstatic, Zhao Gongming single-handedly decimated the Chanjiao leadership. He captured the souls of five senior masters and killed their general, even if only temporarily.
The Zhu, Sideran Deng, and his allies are in a really bad spot, like totally defeated,
like
right?
Completely humiliated. Five senior immortals are down, injured. They got hit by some powerful artifact Zhao Gongming used, and they couldn't even tell what it was.
That's rough. The source says they just saw a red light flashing.
Yeah, exactly. Which tells you how overwhelmed they were. Battered, confused, totally outclassed by whatever Zhao Gongming pulled out.
And adding insult to injury, literally, is Yellow Dragon Zenren still hanging up on that banner pole for everyone to see? A public symbol of their defeat.
Right. It's a massive embarrassment. They have to deal with that before they can even think about fighting back.
So Yuding Zenren, steps up and orders a rescue.
Yep, a very specific stealth mission.
And Yang Jin gets the job. He's known for being tricky, not just strong. He goes in late, first watch, so deep night. How does he pull it off? Brute force clearly didn't work before.
Well, he uses his signature move, right? Shape-changing. Yeah. Transforms into something really small, easily missed a flying ant.
A flying ant.
Okay, yeah, so he could just zip past everyone, land on the pole undetected, whisper some instructions to Yellow Dragon Zenrin. But the really crucial part is removing the seal. There's a talisman seal, a Fuyin, at the top of the pole. That's the key.
Ah, so it wasn't just being tied up. It was magical containment. What happens when he removes that seal?
It's like unlocking a spiritual prison. The text calls it the Heaven Gate opening. It lets the true person's yang spirit, his, you know, spiritual essence escape.
Got it. So this wasn't just rope. It was serious magic holding him.
Definitely. Heavy duty stuff. Once that spirit's free, the true person thanks Yuding Zenrin and, well, mission accomplished. Quietly.
Okay, but Zhao Gongming is powerful. Does he, like, sense this happening, or is he totally oblivious?
Oh, he knows. He's no fool in that sense. The source says he does a quick divination, figures out Yan Jian was behind it.
So he's worried. Maybe rethinking things?
Not at all. And this is the arrogance kicking in. He just laughs it off. Basically says, okay, you got away this time, little trickster, but you won't be so lucky tomorrow.
Wow. He completely underestimates them, thinks his raw power is enough.
Exactly. Big mistake. Huge.
And that mistake gets tested, like, immediately the next morning. Zhao Gongming comes back, riding his tiger, ready for round two.
He's demanding to see Yang Jian, the shapeshifter, but Ran Deng intercepts him. And Ran Deng doesn't draw a weapon first. He uses words.
An insult. What does he say?
Well, it's a good one. He calls Zhao Gongming a Duxiao, a small capacity vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying he's petty, shallow, not worthy of the power he wields.
Ouch, that's got a sting.
And then he twists the knife, says the rescue wasn't even down to their skill, but because of the great luck of King Wu and the virtue of Jiang Shang, the Zhou leaders.
So rubbing salt in the wound by crediting the enemy's destiny, not their actions.
Precisely. And for a proud warrior like Zhao Gongming, that's the final straw. He snaps, attacks instantly with his whip.
So Ran Deng has provoked him, but now he has to deal with the attack.
Right, and Ran Deng knows he probably can't win a direct fight right now, so he does the smart thing. He flees southwest on his deer.
Leading Zhao Gongming on a chase.
A furious chase. And this is where things get really interesting, because Ran Deng basically runs right into, well, fate. Or at least some unexpected help.
Who does he run into?
Two guys just hanging out, playing chess on a hillside. Xiao Sheng in blue clothes and Cao Bao in red.
Chess. In the middle of all this.
Yeah, the text calls them Sanren, hermits, or scattered people from 5E Mountain. Just passing the time. Apparently quite detached from the war.
But they get involved. Why would detached hermits playing chess care about this chase?
Well, they start by singing this very philosophical kind of cryptic song about detachment, you know, seeing life and death as illusion, escaping the world.
Okay, so they sound really detached.
They do. But then they see Zhao Gongming chasing Ran Deng, and their tune changes. They basically turn their philosophy into a weapon. They start taunting Zhao Gongming.
Taunting him? What do they say?
They accuse him flat out of going against the heavenly path, of helping falsehood fight truth. For them, it seems, this isn't just politics. It's a violation of cosmic order.
So their detachment has limits. They see a moral wrong, and they have to step in.
Looks like it. They can't just sit by, even while playing chess. Which, of course, makes Zhao Gongming even angrier.
Understandable. First Ran Deng's insult, now these random chess players judging him.
Yeah, he immediately challenges them. Who do you think you are, basically? And then he attacks.
Okay, so here we go. The artifact showdown. These hermits look simple, but are they ready for someone like Zhao Gongming?
Surprisingly, yes. Zhao Gongming leads with one of his treasures, the dragon binding rope, the Fulong Su. Thinks he'll just tie them up. But Xiao Sheng instantly counters. He pulls out his own treasure, the Luobao Jingqin, the money that drops treasures.
The money that drops treasures? What is that?
It's described as a golden coin, but with wings, and the effect is immediate.
What happens?
The dragon binding rope just stops, follows the coin like it's magnetically attracted, and falls right out of the air onto the ground.
Seriously? Just like that?
Just like that. Cao Bao, the other hermit, just walks over and picks up the rope. Zhao Gongming's first treasure. Gone. Poof.
Okay, that should have been a huge warning sign for Zhao Gongming.
You'd think, but he's furious now, blindsided. So instead of being cautious, he goes for his biggest weapon, The one that took down the five immortals.
He brings out the Dinghai Pearl.
He does. The legendary Dinghai Pearl. The text says it glows with 1,000 clusters of auspicious colors. This is the heavy artillery.
Wait, this is the pearl, the mysterious red light thing from earlier.
That's the one. The treasure that caused all that initial damage and confusion. He's unleashing it directly on Shaoxing.
And Shaoxing, what's his move against that?
Same move. He just throws the falling treasure money again. That little winged coin.
Don't tell me.
Yep. Same result. The incredibly powerful, legendary Dinghai Pearl just follows the coin, drops straight out of the sky, clatters onto the ground.
Unbelievable.
And Kel Bao scoops that up too. So now, Zhao Gongming has lost two major artifacts in, like, seconds to a couple of guys playing chess.
He must be absolutely livid. What does he do now? He's lost his rope and his ultimate weapon.
He's beyond livid. He's lost control. He forgets tactics, forgets artifacts, and just reacts with pure rage. He throws his divine whip.
Okay, his whip. Not another treasure, just his weapon.
Right. Just his powerful physical whip. And this is the crucial, tragic moment for Shaoxing.
What happens? Does he try the coin again?
He does. He throws the falling treasure money a third time, probably expecting the same result. Protect him from whatever Zhao Gongming threw.
But it doesn't work this time.
It doesn't work. The whip flies straight through, completely unaffected by the coin's power.
Oh, no.
And it strikes Shaoxing right in the head. Kills him instantly. Stone dead.
Just like that. Because the coin didn't stop the whip?
Exactly. A fatal miscalculation. He died because he treated the whip like the other item.
Okay, we need to unpack that. That's the absolute key here. Why did the coin work on the dragon binding rope and the Dinghai Pearl, but not on the divine whip? What's the difference?
The difference is everything. It's about specificity. The Luobao Jingqian, the falling treasure money, its power is explicitly to neutralize treasures, artifacts, things that are magically created, imbued items, like the rope, like the pearl.
Okay, so purpose-built magic items.
Right. But the divine whip, powerful as it is presented here as just that, a whip, a physical weapon for striking. It's not classified as a treasure in the same way.
So the coin's magic had no effect on it? It wasn't the right kind of target?
Precisely. The coin's magic only affects items of a certain category. The whip wasn't in that category, so it bypassed the defense completely. That subtle distinction, that failure to correctly identify the nature of the attack, it cost Shaoxing his life.
Wow. Brutal. And while this is happening, Ran Dang is still nearby.
Yeah, he's been watching all this from a vantage point, seeing Zhao Gongming lose his treasures, seeing Shaoxing fall.
Does he do anything?
He does. As Zhao Gongming reels from killing Shaoxing, probably shocked himself, Ran Dang takes his chance. He throws his own item, the Cancun Ruler.
And hits him.
Hits him hard. Strikes Zhao Gongming, breaking his attack and forcing him to finally retreat, wounded and treasureless, staggering away south on his tiger.
So the immediate fight is over. Zhao Gongming is driven off, but Shaoxing is dead.
Right. The dust settles. It's just Ran Dang and Cao Bao, the surviving hermit, left on the battlefield with Shaoxing's body and the captured treasures.
Ran Dang must be grateful, but also probably feels terrible about Shaoxing.
Naturally. The text says he expresses thanks and pity to Cao Bao, acknowledges the sacrifice.
And then inevitably the conversation must turn to the loot, right? Especially that pearl.
Absolutely. Ran Dang asks Cao Bao about the items, particularly the Dinghai Pearl. And this is where Ran Dang has his big aha moment.
He recognizes it instantly.
Instantly. He exclaims that he's finally seen this key Zen, this rare treasure. He knows what it is.
What does he know? What's the story behind this pearl?
He gives it this incredible history. Says it's been around since the time of Yuanxi Tianzun, like the beginning of everything. It apparently used to illuminate Xuandu, the mysterious capital, this really important mythical place.
Whoa, okay, so this isn't just some strong magic item Zhao Gongming happened to have. This is like an ancient legendary artifact that vanished.
Exactly. It's like a piece of lost cosmic history just suddenly reappeared in the middle of this war. That ramps up the significance of everything happening.
No kidding. So what happens with the pearl now? Does Cao Bao keep it?
No. Cao Bao, being the philosophical hermit type, offers it to Ran Dang. Mm-hmm. He says something very profound. One item naturally has its master.
Meaning?
Meaning the pearl belongs with someone who can use it for the right purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Since Ran Dang is fighting for the Tao, for the Zhu cause, he should be the one to wield it.
And Ran Dang accepts.
He accepts. He takes possession of this incredibly ancient and powerful artifact.
And this closes the loop, right? Because Ran Dang then takes it back to his camp.
Right. He returns to the others, the immortals who were injured at the start. And he confirms it for them. That mysterious red light, the treasure that knocked them all down.
It was the Dinghai Pearl, the one he now holds.
Exactly. Suddenly, their earlier defeat makes sense. They weren't just beaten. They were hit by a legendary weapon they couldn't have anticipated. And now, crucially, that weapon is on their side.
The balance of power has well and truly shifted.
Gongming gets hit by something called a Kinkun Ruler. But it's not just the hit, it's the aftermath. He loses his two signature treasures.
And you really can't stress enough how bad this loss is. We're talking about the sea-fixing pearl, the Dinghai Zhu. And the dragon-binding rope, the Fulong Su, especially that pearl. For Gongming, it wasn't just, you know, a powerful magical item.
It was more.
It was the bedrock of his spiritual achievement. The text is super specific here. He actually attained enlightenment, got his Tao fruit using that sea-fixing pearl.
Wow, so losing it is like losing part of his spiritual identity.
Exactly. It's not just losing a tool in battle. It fundamentally shakes his status, his very being.
And then there's the insult, the deep, cutting insult, because Randing, his actual opponent, doesn't grab the treasures right away.
No. They get picked up by these, well, frankly, low-level cultivators, scattered cultivators. Gongming calls them Wuming Xiao Bei, nameless commoners.
Yao Sheng and Cao Bao. Why does that detail matter so much? Who actually picked them up?
Oh, it's everything. It's about honor, celestial hierarchy, you know. If Randing, his peer, had taken them, okay, that's a loss in battle. Humiliating, but understandable.
Right, a worthy opponent.
But for his most fundamental spiritual tools, the proof of his enlightenment, to fall into the hands of Senaren, these kind of vagabond, unaffiliated cultivators, it just diminishes everything.
It makes the treasure seem less important, and him too.
Exactly. It's a theft of dignity, not just property. He gets back to camp and literally says, "Wu Xin Suyi, my heart is shattered." That level of shame in this world, it demands action.
So he's got to get them back. It's not just about revenge. It's like a spiritual imperative. He needs that pearl.
Absolutely.
So no hesitation. He jumps on his tiger mount, flies off.
Classic immortal travel, yeah.
Straight to Three Immortals Island. He's going to see his sisters, the three mothers, specifically the eldest.
He's going right to the top, asking for the heavy artillery.
He wants to borrow one of two things, right? These legendary artifacts.
Yeah, either the Golden Dragon Scissors Jin Zhao Jian or the Primordial Chaos Golden Bucket Han Yuan Jindu. These are basically celestial super weapons, game changers.
But this is where it gets complicated. Personal desperation meets cosmic rules. Yongseo's reaction is not what he hoped for.
Not at all. It's a flat no. A really stern refusal. And she uses it as a teaching moment, reminding him and us, the readers, about the bigger picture, the decree governing this whole conflict.
Which is
their sect, Jijiao, was supposed to stay out of it, completely uninvolved because of the Feng Shen Bang, the God Conferring List.
Ah, the list. That's the key element here, isn't it? The aha moment.
Totally. It shows this war isn't really about who's morally right or wrong. It's about destiny.
Yeah.
About who's fated to die and, well, get press-ganged into the celestial bureaucracy.
Right.
And Yongxiao points to that warning couplet, the one posted right outside their palace. It's like writing on the wall.
What does it say again?
Tighten the cave door, quietly recite two or three volumes of the Yellow Court scripture. Those who venture west will have their name on the God-conferring list.
Wow. Blunt, basically.
Yeah.
Stay home, meditate, keep your head down, or go fight, and you're doomed.
Pretty much. Yongxiao even points out, look, the other side, the Jade Void Palace guys, they're the ones currently dealing with all this bad killing karma. Our sect, we're still truly carefree.
So it's a cold calculation. Survival of the sect over helping her brother reclaim his honor and his pearl.
That's exactly it. She does try to offer a compromise, though. She says, look, I promise I'll go get the pearl back from Randing myself, but only after the list is sealed, after the whole cosmic accounting is settled.
But wait until the danger is past.
Right. Her main fear is escalation. She warns him, if we lend you the Golden Dragon Scissors now, and you lose that too, shui-hi-hi-chi, the regret will be endless.
She values his sex's safety, maybe even her own freedom, above her brother's immediate crisis.
It shows you how terrifying that God-conferring list really is. The stakes are ultimate, higher than personal pride, higher than even a sibling bond, it seems.
But Gongming, he doesn't take it well.
No, he sees it as betrayal. Pure and simple. He storms off, thinking, you know, if my own family won't help me, who will? He feels totally alone.
That anger, that desperation.
Yeah.
That makes him vulnerable, doesn't it? It sets up the next twist.
Absolutely. He hasn't even gotten that far. He's just out over the sea.
And someone stops him. this is the intervention.
Yeah, Fairy Hanzi. Hanzi Shan. And you can just feel the pressure ratchet up the moment she appears.
She's powerful.
Oh, yeah. The text describes her controlling wind and thunder, power to overturn the universe. She's a major player. And she uses that weight, that implicit threat, not for battle, but for politics, to lean on the Three Mothers.
How does she argue it? What's her angle?
It's brilliant, actually. Ruthless. She frames it entirely as family duty. She basically chews out Yongxiao for failing to uphold Gangji family discipline, the proper order.
No.
Her logic is, look, the enemy sect, Jade Void Palace, they're using powerful magic against our side. Gongmin got beaten by superior tools, so we have to back him up with our own best stuff. It's a matter of solidarity.
It's turning Yongxiao's caution back on her.
Exactly. And then she plays the face card, the optics. She says, hey, if Gongming has to go borrow some super weapon from someone outside the immediate family and succeeds, then you, the sisters, you'll look terrible, disloyal, cowardly even. You'll lose face within the whole Jijiao sect for not supporting your own brother.
That's some serious social pressure in their world.
Huge pressure. And Hanzi doesn't just talk. She shows her own commitment. She reveals she has this Kizen, a wondrous treasure she forged herself in her 8-3 grams furnace.
Okay.
And she says she's planning to lend that out to help the war effort, specifically Wen Taishi's campaign.
So she's putting her money where her mouth is, making Yongxiao look even worse if she holds back.
Precisely. It's a power move, and it works. Immediately, Bixiao, the younger sister.
Right, there are three of them.
Yeah, Bixiao sides with Hanzi. Now it's two against one. Yongxiao sees she's cornered, politically and morally. She can't really refuse now.
The pressure was too much.
So she caves. Reluctantly, she goes and gets the golden dragon scissors.
So the fear of shame, the political maneuvering, it overrides the fear of the prophecy, the cosmic warning.
In this moment, yes. But Yongxiao isn't happy about it. She gives Gongming really strict conditions when she hands them over, a final attempt to control the situation.
What does she tell him?
She says, tell Ranning this. If you give back the pearl, I won't use the scissors. If you don't...
Then what?
Then I will use them, and the moon will be hard to make round again. Yuki nan yuan.
It sounds ominous. The moon will be hard to make round again.
It's a poetic way of saying death, destruction, something irreversible. She's basically saying, don't you dare actually fire this thing unless you absolutely have to. She warns him explicitly against Qian Wan Bu Kizhao Qing Qingxi. Rash action.
Use the threat. Save your honor, but please don't pull the trigger.
That's the message. And Gongming, now holding this ultimate trump card, agrees. He heads back to Wen Taishi's camp, gets a hero's welcome. He's got the power now. Time to talk.
Okay, so this leads us right to the confrontation. It feels like it should be straightforward.
Yeah.
Give me back my pearl. Or else.
You'd think so, but it blows up immediately into something much bigger, a theological clash.
So Gongning rides out the next morning, challenges Randing,
yep.
Demands the pearl.
And Randing, he just refuses, flat out. But it's how he refuses that changes everything. He gets incredibly dismissive, almost arrogant.
What does he say?
He basically declares the pearl is a Menji Bao, a Buddhist treasure, and then he insults Gongming's entire spiritual path, calling it Zuo Dao Pangmen heterodox, basically a wrong or deviant way.
Whoa! So he's not just saying no, he's saying this treasure doesn't belong to you and your whole way of enlightenment is wrong anyway.
Exactly. It's a massive theological power play. He's claiming Gongming was never meant to have the pearl, that Gongming lacked the fortune and wisdom to keep something so significant.
So Randing is claiming destiny. That fate somehow guided the pearl away from Gongming.
Precisely. He implies that the pearl getting lost to those nameless commoners was all part of a plan so it could eventually reach its true rightful owner, him, Randing, or at least someone on the correct path.
He's saying it wasn't theft, it was destiny correcting itself.
You got it. And for Gongming, hearing his hard-won enlightenment invalidated, his honor trampled. That's the last straw.
Negotiation is over.
Completely. He yells back, since you are without affection today, I will ensure the moon is hard to make round. That phrase again.
You can on you on.
And the text says they barely fight just a moment where deer and tiger crossed paths before Gongming, in his rage, forgets Yongxiao's warning entirely.
He uses the scissors.
Instantly. He sacrifices the golden dragon scissors, throws them into the fight.